so hype right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama, baby, ma. Anything's possible.
Rainy days back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I want to thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing right now. If you're listening to the show on a podcast, watching the show on YouTube, thank you for doing so. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal, and I am the author of The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book that is now available everywhere books are sold, and on my personal website, johncorrales.com, for $30 for a signed copy. All right, today's a mailbag episode, diving into a ton of questions. Draft questions, Evan Fournier questions, Jaylen Brown questions, Yama Dar question. Like, we got everything. So let me just dive right in. But before I do, I want to make sure that you are aware of the draft night show that I am hosting along with Chad Ford. Let me just for a minute pause here and say how freaking cool it's going to be that I am going to be hosting a show with Chad Ford as one of my analysts. That's going to be amazing. Rafael Barlow, who is one of the hosts of the Locked On NBA Draft podcast, also super amazing at what he does. The analysis is going to be unrivaled on this show. Please tune in. It's going to stream on the Locked On NBA YouTube. It's going to stream on Roku. It's going to stream on Amazon Fire Stick. It is the alternative to the four-letter network, and it's going to be better. And I am the luckiest person in the world because I get to host that stuff. That's going to be amazing. July 29th, draft night. It starts at 7 p.m. I am psyched. I'm going down to Dallas. We're going to be doing it out of the WFAA. I'm so excited. I'm tripping over my words. I'm going to be doing it out of the WFAA studios in Dallas. This is going to be an amazing night that I'm really looking forward to. I can't believe that I get to host a show and throw to Chad freaking Ford for draft analysis. That's going to be amazing. Speaking of the draft, let's dive into the mailbag, and starting with draft questions from Jim Dunn, 09. If you have to make a draft day trade, what's the deal and who do you pick? Let me start with this. The Celtics should not do a draft day trade. I don't think that there's plenty of help in the draft if the Celtics were in the draft, but now to get into the draft, what does that mean? The Celtics were very willing to get rid of this draft pick. Why? Okay, so you have to do that to move off of Kemba Walker. They're very happy to do that. But then I don't think they did that just to say we're going to get back into the draft. I think they did this to say, look, we're okay not being in this draft. We're okay not, we've got older guys now. More young guys, more 18, 19, 20-year-olds are not what the Celtics need. So let me start with that. I am not trading into this draft. Now, if you're saying you have to make a draft night trade, and who are you targeting? What are you doing? I don't know who I'm really targeting. Maybe if a guy like this Turkish big man, Alperen Sengun, who is, like, I haven't seen him play, I'll be honest with you, but the people who know talk about him like he's a very special talent. If the Celtics say, hey, look, we're not happy or we're not really comfortable with Robert Williams being the future of this team, we think he's going to be very either expensive or injury prone, then maybe you target this kid from Turkey. And if the experts are right, then maybe you move into the draft, you develop him, and you move Robert Williams in a trade. I don't think that's what they should do. Let me just say this again. I don't think that's what the Celtics should do. I don't want to do that. Just don't bother with the first round of this draft. It's done. It's over. Goodbye. Stuart Dyker asks, is it worth looking at trading into the mid to late first round draft this year? If so, who do you think we would need to give up to do so? This is an extension of the last question. So obviously, no, I don't think it's worth it. It's done. Forget it. Because who are you going to give up? I don't think right now the value on the Celtics who you would give up is enough, right? So Aaron Nesmith, is the value on Aaron Nesmith good enough to trade into this first round? Are the Celtics going to say to another team, hey, you can tell your fan base, you just drafted Romeo Langford. You just drafted Aaron Nesmith. You just drafted Grant Williams. You just drafted Robert Williams. Maybe Robert Williams is the only guy, but that takes away an established NBA guy who has proven that he is a starter level player in the NBA for a project that may be a starter level player in the NBA. So again, no, don't trade into the first round. Don't do it. Don't bother. Cole asks, are there any names that you like for the Celtics with the 45th pick? So let me explain the 45th pick for you. That is, there are two things that could happen with the 45th pick. One, somebody could inexplicably fall that far. And the Celtics could say, all right, if Isaiah Todd, who is an intriguing G League Ignite guy, is available, or if Dacian Nix is available, who is an intriguing G League Ignite guy, is available still at that point, that maybe you take a guy with high upside, serious flaws. So you got Dacian Nix. If he falls to 45, which some mocks have him yes, some mocks have him no, here's a guy who is a tremendous passer, who is 6'4", who can't shoot. And I will say this, Danny Ainge would probably take this guy in the second round and love the fact that he got this guy and would try to get him to fix his jump shot. If Brad Stevens is truly a disciple of Danny Ainge, he might draft Dacian Nix and try to develop him. He's spent this 1 year in the G League Ignite. If he is available on a two-way deal, if he's willing to try to develop himself in that way, then yeah, same thing with a guy like Isaiah Todd. Guys who maybe used to project a little higher have fallen because of whatever circumstances, but there is a real strong upside if they have the time to work and develop that upside. Sure, at 45, pick one of those guys. You might find some real gems in that spot. So that's one thing you can do with that 45th pick. The other side of that 45th pick is you find a draft and stash guy. And there are a number of guys who are international players who could be willing to stay overseas. This is a great spot for someone. We're talking about Yamadar. I'm going to talk about him in a few minutes. You take a young prospect, you let him grow and develop in one of those good European, you know, leagues that has strong competition. That's a great way to build a guy up for a year or two, see what you have. And you know what? If it's kind of iffy, what you have there is, in a trade scenario, the worst case scenario is, hey, we need to dump the salary. We're going to trade, for example, Kemba Walker and the rights to this second rounder that we drafted, and we get in return, you know, a heavily protected second round pick that doesn't convey. Like that's where you use this pick. So, but I think those couple of G League guys that have shown some level of great skill in one area, but need development in another area, those are guys that you can target. Rita at Smiley Jogger, regular listener, regular asker of questions. Shout out to Rita. With free agency negotiations beginning August 2nd and a moratorium ending August 6th, is there a deadline date for rosters to be set going into the season? Wondering when we'll know who Brad is keeping or starting with. The deadline is basically, I think, the day below, but before the season. You can bring all of these guys into camp. So you have the opportunity to cut guys down as camp progresses. So you've got a 15-man roster. You can carry, 20 into camp. You can't carry 30 guys into camp, but I think you can carry, I think the number is 20. But you have to cut guys down basically a day or two before the regular season, and you'll start to see that happen. So you won't know for sure who those guys are going to be, but you'll start to get a sense before then. Yamadar questions, Summer League questions, Evan Fournier questions coming up in the next segment. So make sure you stick around for that. Also, make sure you're going to betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. I'm sure they're going to be laying odds on Summer League. I've seen people bet on Summer League games, which, hey, great. If you want to do that, sure. Baseball, whatever sports are out there. The Olympics, plenty of betting opportunities in the Olympics. So head on over to BetOnline. Use your laptop, use your mobile device, whichever one. Doesn't matter. Go ahead and create your username, your password, and then use the promo code LOCKEDON. Very important that you do that, because that's going to give you an instant win, a 50% welcome bonus. So you create your profile, you use that promo code, you deposit $200, you get a $100, 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. So whatever you pop in there, 50% of that added to it as a welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get into the game at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Before we get back into the questions, I want to just throw out there that if you're listening to the show and you think something sounds a little bit different, I'm trying a new microphone out, which is a different style of microphone. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it's kind of like popping out of the bottom here versus this big handle that was coming over the top. It's a little something different. I'm hoping it works better. It's something that frees me up to gesticulate a little bit more. Before, I was kind of like hooked in with the arm here. But now my Greek self can really talk with my hands, which means that I get to have some fun screenshots for the promo things that I do, the promo graphics. I like to get myself in an actual action shot talking with my hands. So it looks like I'm actually talking. I catch myself in some pretty funny situations there. So, but if it sounds different, hopefully it doesn't sound worse. Hopefully it sounds a little bit better, but I'm trying something out here. So that's the situation. If you didn't notice, fantastic. That's great. Moving on. Steve Hancock says, if Yamadar has an encouraging and progressive summer league, will this solve any ball handler / taller point guard backup problems for the Celtics? Therefore, opening up more cap possibilities for a power forward. Yeah, it actually would, because Yamadar is taller. If he shows that in summer league, like, whoa, this guy is actually really good, you gotta sign this guy. If he is that good, where you spend some of your mid-level exception, which, by the way, that's how you have to sign him. They have his rights. But because he's a second round pick, there's no guaranteed slot. You have to use an exception of some sort to sign him. So you can sign him to the rookie minimum, a minimum wage contract, which I don't think that would make sense for Yamadar. You could just stay over in Israel or whatever other team might be, you know, buying his contract for that one final year. that would make more sense for him financially. Or you use some level, some portion of the mid-level exception, because you have to use, there's no exempt slot like there is for the first round picks. You are automatically get a first round pick slot. The salary is predetermined basically, and that doesn't impact your other exceptions. Signing a second round pick does. So Jamadar, if he's good enough to sign a guaranteed contract, another element I should throw out there is that there would have to be a buyout, because his Israeli team does hold his rights there for one more year as well. So the Celtics would have to buy out his contract. This was a previous question that I'll just repeat, that it's about a little less than $800,000 that is allowed by the league. Actually, no, this was a question on Twitter, so I never put it on the podcast. It's about $800,000 allowed by the league that you can use for a buyout. If it's more than that, then that comes out of the player's salary, which means if, let's just use round numbers, Jamadar and the Celtics agree to a $2 million first year in a guaranteed contract, but the buyout costs $1 million and we round up to $800,000, that extra $200,000 comes out of his salary. So either he makes $1.8 million or the Celtics bump it up to $2.2 million, and that comes, you know, that, but that counts against the salary cap, counts against the tax and all of that. That has to be factored into his salary. So there are ramifications in the cap when it comes to Jamadar. So the only way to avoid that, but still have him as a member of the Celtics, is if he agrees to a two-way deal, which again is, it's like a middle ground, not financially where he wants to be, but if he thinks that, hey, I'm close to the NBA, I realize now that I might not be fully ready, but I want to come over here and try, you put him on the two-way deal, you maybe do that for a year or even two, and then you move forward with that. But if he is two-way type of guy, then you might as well just let him stay over and play overseas, because that way you don't have to pay the $700,000 and you just sign him next year. One more year developing overseas is not a big deal. But I will, just to answer the question more directly, because there's always like a million offshoots with these answers. Yes, if he's ready to participate and play and be a contributor at the NBA level, that does solve a problem for the Celtics. Aiden Cummings, saw a report that Fournier was worth a little over $13 million next year. That's a John Hollinger thing. By the way, Hollinger and Duncan on the Lockdown Podcast Network, you should check it out because that's where he said this. Do you think this is a realistic offer for the Celtics? Do you think they'd be willing to overpay to ensure he doesn't leave? So $13 million is a pay cut, and I'm sure he's looking for a pay raise. I think that's probably a little low. I think he could probably at least get what his starting point, what he was making last season, which is about $17 million. But if the Celtics say, hey, we're going to start you at $15 million, let's say. The value is like $13 million, we'll give you $15 million. If you can get more than that, let us know. We'll up our offer, but we're starting at $15 million. I think $13 million a year is, if they can get him starting first year at $13 million, fantastic. Sign me up, because I think he could be really good. And at $13 million at this salary cap, yeah, that's a really good value. Lock him up, sign him for 4 years. At that point, and he still would be tradable. So, but yeah, do I think they'd be willing to overpay? Depends on what the starting point is. If $13 million is the starting point and their overpay is $15 million, then yeah. If the starting point is $17 million and their overpay is $19 or $20 million, then no. Taylor, I think the Celtics would be a better team next year with Fournier, but would it be better to let him walk and give consistent minutes to Romeo, Nesmith, Grant, so we can find out if these guys are capable of being rotation players? Taylor, I just don't think you need to get rid of Fournier to see that happen, because your rotation, here's my ideal rotation. Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams as the starting center, and then either a player to start next to Marcus Smart or a player to start next to Robert Williams. I don't care where that fifth starter is, but a player that is capable of starting in the backcourt with Smart that pushes Tatum down to the four, or a player that starts at the four, pushes Tatum up to the three. Jaylen's your two. That's nice size in the backcourt. I like that plan. That's my ideal plan. Whatever that guy is, hopefully they can find somebody that's starter worthy. Fournier becomes my sixth man. That doesn't mean that you don't have a seventh, eighth, and ninth man or 10th man. So Romeo, Nesmith, those guys can certainly get plenty of minutes, especially short turnaround for Jason Tatum. I don't think it's smart to play him more than 32 minutes a game in the first few months of the season. That's going to leave 5 or 6 minutes extra for one of the Romeo Nesmith wing type of guys, or even Grant if they want to go small, depending on what they do with their center. So I think you can keep Fournier and still give consistent minutes to these other guys. And hey, what's the worst case scenario here? If you find out that there's a little bit of a logjam, then you've got a very tradable piece and you can move him, whichever one it is. And there's nothing wrong with Romeo and Aaron Nesmith competing for a little bit of minutes. Grant Williams, if they're raising their profile and you realize that all of them are good and all of them deserve minutes, then you can figure out a trade, because the Celtics will certainly, I think, no matter what, they'll certainly be in the market to make a midseason trade. At Mawule Official, was Evan Fournier consistent enough during the playoffs regular season to keep him, or should we consider a sign and trade for a younger wing like Kyle Kuzma? I don't think, first of all, I'm not going to hold anything about the playoffs against Evan Fournier. Like 2 weeks before those playoffs, he was talking about coming off of COVID and hoping that the COVID vaccine, was going to help eliminate what essentially was concussion-like symptoms as a result of COVID. So I'm not holding his playoff results against him. I don't think that you need to move Fournier in order to get Kuzma. I floated some other ideas out for Kuzma, but I don't think that Kuzma's an answer. I think you call the Lakers and see what they want. Maybe they'll sell low, but I think Evan Fournier can be really, really good. Let's move on. Edison Gonzalez, who says, hello from Paraguay. Is it forbidden for a player to talk to another player or coach about joining a team? Like, is it illegal for Tatum to talk to Beal or Lillard about joining the Celtics? Asking because it seems like no one wants to admit that they do these things. It is not illegal for players to tamper with one another. It is illegal for a coach to tamper with players. For example, what's his name for the Nigeria, drawing a blank, Mike Brown. Mike Brown, the head coach of the Nigerian national team, is an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors. He is allowed to talk to, as a coach of the Nigerian team, players of Nigerian descent in college about playing for the Nigerian national team. But Steve Kerr cannot talk to those same college players. So Mike Brown can call those guys and talk specifically about Nigeria, cannot talk about the Golden State Warriors, even though he's an assistant there. And he's allowed to do that, right? But he cannot talk to guys, other guys about the Warriors. So there's a little middle ground, right? So Ime Udoka is an assistant coach on Team USA. He can talk to Damian Lillard about Team USA stuff. He can't talk to Damian Lillard officially about joining the Celtics. Like that can't happen. But Jason Tatum can talk to Damian Lillard all he wants. There's no player-to-player tampering unless it's so blatant that Jason Tatum says, hey, I'm heavily recruiting Damian Lillard to come to the Celtics right now. Like if he does a media availability and says, oh yeah, I've been talking to Dame about coming to Boston every day, like that would be problematic. So, but privately, there's no limitation to that. We've got a ton of questions left, so I am going to get to those next, and there is a lot. So people have been awesome about responding to my call for a question, and I tend to get really wordy with my answers, so I gotta fly through the rest of these answers after I tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. Get yourself a Built Bar. I have a Built Bar after most of my workouts. The only time I don't is when I run out, which I have. Luckily, my gym also knows about Built Bar, so they buy a bunch and I can get them over there. But go to built.com, and you'll see all of the amazing flavors. They taste like candy bars, but you're not just pulling out a candy bar and eating it with all that sugar and all that crap. Really, what you're getting in a Built Bar is 17 to 18 grams of protein, which is awesome after a lift because it feeds your muscles. Calories, 130 to 180. So when you get onto that that elliptical or the treadmill and you're busting your butt, you're not blowing all of that out with a high calorie bar. 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 net carbs. It's great. Use it as a meal replacement. Use it as a supplement. Use it as, like I said, something that helps fuel your workouts. It's great. There are special flavors all the time. So make sure you're going to built.com regularly, because out of nowhere, they can just drop an amazing new flavor. They've got fruity flavors, coconut flavors, chocolate flavors, peanut butter flavors, non-nut options. If you're allergic, it's fine. Keto, you're fine. This works in the keto diet. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off every time you order at built.com. LOCKED15. Use it every time you go to built.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Friday is the last day of the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021. If you've missed it, you're missing out on an amazing event where all of the Locked On hosts are making draft picks, trades. It's a real first round with the Locked On local experts making the picks, and analysts like Chad Ford, Brian Scalabrini, Scal is on this, Ryan McDonough, analyzing all of the moves so you get a real sense of what might happen in the first round. Look for the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app. That's AUDACY. Let's get back into the questions. King Kahuna, if Tristan is not traded, is there a way to play him this year that isn't any long-term if there isn't any long-term injuries to the other centers on the roster? Will a Twin Towers lineup return? I really hope not. I also really hope not. No, the Twin Towers should not return, not with Tristan Thompson. No. Is there a way to play him this year? Yes. Is there a way to play him that he likes? I don't know, because Robert Williams should be the starter. Al Horford should be the backup. Then it's Tristan Thompson, and that's it. And Moses Brown, if he plays himself into that third big, then this is why I say Tristan Thompson should be traded. But also, I understand why keeping Tristan Thompson can be beneficial, because he has a $9 million salary that's very good in salary matching. So in the last podcast that I did, talking to Sean Coleman about trading for Kyle Anderson, let's just say the Celtics want to trade for Kyle Anderson, but it's not until the deadline. They don't have an exception. Well, now that $9 million Tristan Thompson contract is perfect for matching Kyle Anderson. You send him that. You send Memphis that. 2 second rounders, cash, so they can buy out Tristan Thompson and he can head out into the buyout market. That would be a perfect trade for the Celtics. So I understand the value of bringing him along. Maybe you just send him home. Maybe you say, you know what? If you don't like it, you can go home. We'll pay you your money. Go work out wherever you're going to work out. That's fine. But we're not going to play you, and that's it. So that's where I am with Tristan Thompson. I'm very happy just not playing him. Mawuli Official, Big Deuce. Back and asks, the Celtics' chances at TJ McCollum, Brogdon, Batum, Carmelo, predict the starting lineup and potential suitors for Tristan Thompson and what we can get back for him. Who has more potential, Langford versus Nesmith? Let me just take this opportunity to please ask one question, please. McConnell, Brogdon's out. Forget it. They're not trading for Brogdon, and Indy's not giving him up. Carmelo, no. Like, he had a nice little resurgence in Portland. No. No. Batum, possibly, but I think he's better off staying with the Clippers. McConnell, maybe, but that's another small guard. How many small guards? For once, I would like the Celtics to sign a 6'5 point guard. Like, even if it's me, I'm 6'5. Sign me for just 2 days and then cut me. Non-guaranteed. I don't even want any money out of this. Well, guarantee like 50 grand or something just for the hell of it. But, you know, I could use the cash. But something so you can say, hey, we signed this 6'5 dude. I'm sick of signing 6'1 guys. Potential suitors for Tristan Thompson. I don't know. Who needs a backup center? The Lakers, whoever. I think the Celtics, what they can get back for him is either cap space or a reclamation project. He's the guy I've been saying, like Juancho Hernan Gomez from Minnesota. That's the type of player. If you send Thompson out, either you're matching Kyle Anderson, who, you know, you're paying a team to waive Tristan Thompson, but whatever. You're not getting anything good back. Potential Langford versus Nesmith. I think they're both kind of equal at this point. Nesmith's the better shooter. Langford's the better driver. He's got a better handle. They've both shown flashes on defense. Flip a coin. Nesmith maybe because he's the better shooter and shooter's the better skill, the more valuable skill, right? Nesmith's supposed to be the knockdown 3-point guy. So there it is. I'll go with Nesmith. But if Langford can develop that 3-point shot, he'll be really good. Nick McLeod, why do you think there appears to be such an agenda against Marcus Smart? All the trade rumors kicking around seem to be getting less in return. I think he could be a good starting point guard if he's distributing and defending. Let me start with this. Don't confuse rumors with speculation and suggestion. This is my number one pet peeve at this time of year and at the deadline. A trade rumor is something that a newsbreaker, aka Adrian Wojnarowski, Shams Charania, say the Boston Celtics are looking to trade Marcus Smart. That's a rumor. When I, John Corrales, say, hey, I'd love to see the Celtics go after JaMychal Green, that's not a rumor. I've talked about JaMychal Green, I don't know how many times. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, you'd be like, geez, shut the hell up about JaMychal Green. People have aggregated me talking about JaMychal Green, and it's a suggestion. I think it could work, but that's not a rumor. That's just some dude on the internet talking. And so there are no rumors about Marcus Smart. The people who are suggesting things about Marcus Smart that get less in return are people who don't like Marcus Smart. And that is almost entirely focused on his shooting. And this is my line. If you don't like Marcus Smart because you don't like the shots that he takes, or you don't like the shots that he misses, that tells me a lot. I'm sorry to say it, but Marcus Smart does a lot. And yes, I agree with Nick. Marcus Smart as the starting point guard is very capable of being a starting level NBA point guard. Okay? He plays at a very high level defensively. He's an excellent passer, maybe the best passer on the team. He has very good instincts, a high basketball IQ, and he shoots at an on the line of the acceptable rate. So if the consistency can get him shooting a little bit better, then he is a good starting point guard. Where the Celtics' strengths are everywhere else, a good starting point guard with the level of defense that he plays, that's why I'm high on Marcus Smart as the starter. All the other stuff is just people on the other side. Fine. That's your opinion. Fine. But that's where this is coming from, Nick. That's where this is coming from. The people who look at Marcus Smart and his shooting and cannot stand his shooting, that's where this is coming from. Matt, also, why is everyone so quick to trade Jaylen Brown? He's done nothing but get better and better every season. I don't get it. That might just be me reading too much into Twitter. Suggestion to Matt, don't read too much into Twitter. Twitter is a horrible place. And that's just, it's gotten so negative over the past year or two. It's just the worst of the worst. And the problem on Twitter is that every bad take gets amplified by people dunking on those bad takes, which is something that I, hand up, have done plenty of times over the course of my life. And I realized that that was an absolute mistake. And I'm stopping that. I'm stopping the dunking on people as much as I can. Sometimes I can't resist. I understand that. I get it. I'm trying my best not to dunk on bad takes on Twitter. Why do people want to trade Jaylen Brown? I don't know. Because they have old opinions on Jaylen Brown. They had a first impression of Jaylen Brown that they're just not willing to change. Whatever it is, I don't know. I don't think it makes any sense except for bringing back a player that is top five, top 10. Jaylen Brown's not top 10. I love Jaylen Brown. I think he's an awesome player, but it's about, for me, if you're trading Jaylen Brown, it's about bringing in a top 10 player. Which brings us to Dylan. I wanted to ask your thoughts about a theoretical trade for Karl-Anthony Towns in a package involving Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart. Thank you. I don't think that Karl-Anthony Towns is available. And I don't think that throwing Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart out there gets that done either way. Karl-Anthony Towns He's really damn good, but he's really young, and there are rough edges that need to be smoothed out with him, but he's a hell of a player. Is he at that level of trading Jaylen and Marcus Smart for right now? I don't think so. Jaylen and Marcus Smart are in a trade for top five player to me. Top five, superstar, disgruntled, wants to go. That guy, yeah. Karl-Anthony Towns, first of all, I don't have his contractual stuff in front of me yet, but he's under contract for a very long time in Minnesota. They're just not going to move him. So I'm going to stop talking because Karl-Anthony Towns is not available. He's just not available. And the only way he would be is if he absolutely begs for a trade and stops playing basketball for the Minnesota Timberwolves. But that's it. So he's not available. And also, Matt asks, do the Celtics really need a third max player, or could we just get some bench help and a decent point guard? So for me, decent point guard would be a backup point guard. Okay? Unless a high-level point guard is out there. But the point guard position is so deep in the NBA, there are going to be really good point guards available for low money. Do they really need a third max player? No, maybe not. It kind of depends on what Tatum and Brown do, what they develop into. Because if Tatum takes a step into the top 10 in the NBA, top five, if Jaylen Brown takes a step into the guaranteed all-star, then do you need a third all-star max player? No. You could use a third Drew Holiday type. That's the Milwaukee plan now, where a guy who's on the verge of being an all-star, you still need a third really good player. But do you need a third max player? No. I think they can actually get by with depth. If they can put out a team that matches up against Brooklyn, that holds its own against Brooklyn starters, but then when the bench comes in, it's just a wash, then that depth, I think, could be good. If they have a starting unit that can sort of kind of hold its own against Brooklyn, but their bench is still then what's the point, right? You need to have that really strong depth. That's what, if you're not getting that third max player, you need that depth. Bob asks, who is better and more essential to the Celtics? This is the question that's been going around for a while. Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum? He says, Eileen Brown. He's better at driving to the rim. He has a great mid-range game, shoots the threes well, plays great defense, and he's not looking at the refs all the time while waiting for the foul call. Felt he was better than Tatum this year. Am I crazy? Bob, I feel like you're saying a lot here. So sounds to me like you're really not happy with Tatum's complaining to the officials, which I get. I'm not happy about that either. So what is that? Does that take away from his game because you're annoyed by that? No. Jason Tatum is better, I think. Jaylen Brown is, I think right now, a little better getting to the rim, but Tatum can, if he just tightens up that handle a little bit, can blow right past Jaylen Brown. I don't think this is quite the question that it used to be. I think at the beginning of the season, this was a question. I think by the end of the season, when we saw Tatum dropping 50, 60, multiple 40-point games, I think you saw the true separation between Tatum and Jaylen Brown, which is not to say that Jaylen Brown isn't amazing. You're right. That mid-range game is really great. In fact, the mid-range game is his claim over Tatum. In the playoffs, I'd rather actually have Jaylen Brown take that mid-range jumper than Jason Tatum right now. But I think, and the question of whether he was better than Tatum this past year, Tatum did get COVID. Like, let's be fair. Tatum got COVID, and it was the long haul COVID that really hurt him for a long time. So for a while, yeah, Jaylen was better, and Jaylen can play in spurts at that high level. And next season, who knows? Maybe Jaylen takes another step forward and matches Jason Tatum. And you know what? If he does, great. Then I want the answer to this question to be like, I don't know, because that means Jaylen Brown has ascended to that point. So I really don't want to have this conversation. I really don't. Who's better? Who's more essential? They're both super essential to this team. At Maverick with no vowels 003. What skill development would you recommend for the Celtics young players this summer? Aaron Nesmith would need to tighten up his handle, or actually I shouldn't even say tighten up his handle. He needs to get a handle. He needs to develop his dribbling skills, where Romeo Langford needs to develop his shooting skills. Grant Williams needs to work on perimeter defense, his lateral movement, his lateral quickness. He needs to be on those hip abductor machines. You know, the one where you get in, you spread your legs this way and push your legs this way, you know, to get the inside and outside of your hips. He needs to spend the entire summer on those things so he can slide better and get in front of guys on the perimeter. He needs to be able to guard the perimeter better. Peyton Pritchard might as well extend his range, because he needs to be able to shoot from 35 to negate his size disadvantage. Who else is out there? Robert Williams. I think the skill that I want Robert Williams to master the most is figuring out how to run without injuring himself. And if he needs to work with some physiology experts or something like that to make it so he's not hurting his left leg as often. But as far as basketball skills, work on a jumper. Who else is out there as far as young players? I think that's it for young players that are going to stick around. At Is a Joke. Rapid fire here. The KD and Bam beef. Is this something or nothing? For those who missed it, Kevin Durant, Bam Adebayo shooting around. Kevin Durant made a shot. Bam Adebayo took the ball and didn't give it back to Durant, blah, blah, blah. This is nothing. This is two guys that, you know, KD was just busting chops on Twitter. There's absolutely nothing to it. Jason Tatum in interviews, does he remind you of Kawhi? In that they are monotone and don't say anything ever in their interviews? Yes. Jason Tatum, great basketball player. As far as in his scrums, he says nothing. He is just dry. Nothing but cliches and mumbles in his interviews. It's all right. Hey, you know, he's not paid to give interviews. He's paid to play basketball. Ime Udoka, does my boy need to hit the gym? I don't know. Have you seen pictures of Ime Udoka? Dude looks like he's in shape. Okay, so he can't guard Jason Tatum, 23-year-old rising superstar in the NBA. Ime Udoka is in his early 40s. Hey, shout out to guys in their 40s. Ime is in phenomenal shape for a dude in his 40s. That dude does not need to hit the gym. And the Marcus Smart question, does he need to retire? Does he retire his jersey if he gets a ring? That question was answered in the last mailbag. Sorry, you got to go listen to that. I'm not answering that question again. And finally, Jim Dunn 09, JD Dunn 09 on Twitter asks, why should the Celtics not purchase Bill Russell's items and display them for everyone to see at the Garden? So Bill Russell announced on Thursday the auctioning of a bunch of memorabilia, championship rings, game-worn stuff, all sorts of crazy memorabilia from his career. And so the suggestion here by Jim is absolutely amazing. I love it. The Celtics, 100%, 1,000,000%, infinity percent should purchase every one of Bill Russell's auction items. Don't even let it go to auction. This is benefiting a charity. I forget which charity it is, but whichever charity it is, it's certainly a worthy one. If Bill Russell is supporting it, the Celtics should buy everything, make that donation to that charity. Don't even hold the auction. Put it in display somewhere at the Garden. So absolutely 100%. I cannot be more on board with this suggestion. I would love, I think this would be an amazing gesture for the Celtics to make their donation to his cause, to put this memorabilia out there, to create a display for people to see, put it out on the concourse, put a Bill Russell display on the concourse so people walking along, you know, going to get their beer, there's a section there where all of Bill Russell's first and last championship ring. Are you kidding me? Absolutely. Game-worn jerseys. Put it all out there. That's where it belongs, for the fans to see and appreciate. You know what? Bill Russell's time in Boston was amazing from a basketball perspective. It was horrible, hellish from a social perspective in many, many ways. And he has not been shy about saying this. I am not breaking any news, and I'm not being woke by saying that. He says it flat out. This is, I think, an appropriate gesture for the Boston Celtics to put this stuff not just on display, in context, in display. Make the donation, help buy everything, and then make an additional donation on top of that. Go out there, support his charity. Put this stuff on display so that people can see, so people can understand the true greatness of Bill Russell. That is the only way this should go. This stuff, as much as I would love to be able to buy one of those championship rings and put it on display, like right behind me and say, hey, look at this championship ring from Bill Russell. I am a person who would appreciate it. I shouldn't have it. That belongs to the people or Bill Russell. Mr. Russell wants to auction it off to raise money. Then fine, take it, auction it off. No, Celtics should buy it, put it on display so people can see. Celtics fans can see, and then use it to educate people. I think that's the only way this should go. I'm super passionate about the suggestion. Thank you to Jim Dunn. That's an amazing idea. Somehow we got to get this momentum going and get the Celtics to buy this stuff and put it on display. I'd love it. All right. Thanks for all of the questions. I'm sorry if I sounded rushed through all of them. I wanted to make sure I got to all of them. I think I did. If I missed one, I'm sorry. But Lots of questions every week. I'm going to be doing the mailbag every Friday here as the offseason progresses because you've got a lot of questions and things that maybe I didn't think about. So subscribe if you haven't subscribed yet. If you're a new listener, checking it out, sampling the podcast, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or on the Odyssey app. If you're watching the YouTube show and you're to this point and you were, you know, I hope this gets you to subscribe and comment. Plenty of people have subscribed and commented. I love it. Thank you so much. And the most important thing is to share the podcast and tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.